Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
So today we're continuing our series called Life Preservers. If you were unable to be with us last week, this is our summer series, and this will take us through the month of July. It's hard to believe that we are in summer officially. We pretty much live in summer all year long here in Florida, but it's official now that we are in summer, and this is our summer series taking us through the month of July. And we're taking a look at the idea of the life preservers that God gives us, that we look into His Word and we see that He provides us things that we can hold on to. Many of us take advantage of the beautiful nature that Florida has to offer. Yes, it is scorching hot, so that means many of us will flood to wherever there is water to go cool off or go out on a boat, whatever it may be. And if you go out on a boat, one of the things that you need is a life jacket or a life preserver. In the event something bad happens, that you have something to hold on to so you don't sink, like I have done several times on a pontoon boat. And as I said last week, I plan on never getting on another pontoon boat in my life because all three I've been on have sunk. So those life preservers have come in handy. So if you go out on the water, a life preserver is important, something to hold on to so you don't drown. And God provides life preservers for us. He provides promises for us to hold on to. He gives those promises to us in His Word, that we go through His Word and we have Scripture that we hold on to. And God gives us those life preservers to hold on when we feel like we can't, we're just drowning, that life is too much, that we've got God's Word as promises to hold on to. It could be a relationship, a job situation, finances, any number of things can leave us feeling like we're drowning. You may say, well, all of those check the box for me right now. We all have been in situations where we feel like spiritually we're drowning. But we've got God's Word to hold on to us, to keep us afloat in times of difficulties. But it's important that we understand His promises in context. It's important that as we read God's Word, we understand His promises to us, that God offers promises in various different ways. There are unconditional promises that God gives to humanity, that God gives to every single person alive on planet Earth, that God gives those universal promises, that there is nothing that we can do to change that promise. Think back to Noah and the flood. God promised that He will never again destroy all earth on life by flood. And with that promise is the promise of a rainbow. That's a promise that we all can hold on to, that you can see a rainbow in the sky and know that God will never again destroy all life on earth through a flood. There is nothing that we will do that will ever change that promise. It's a universal promise that God has made to us, unconditional promise. Then there are conditional promises in God's Word, that God makes a promise to us, to His people, but yet there's something that we have to do. There's something that we have to fulfill on our end of the bargain. There's something that just like if you have a warranty on your car or something like that, that, yeah, the manufacturer will cover the warranty, but if you never get the oil changed on the car, well, then they're never going to pay that warranty because you didn't fulfill your end of the bargain. Well, I don't know what happened. The engine blew up. Well, did you ever change the oil? Nope, never did. Well, sorry, we're not going to pay for it. Those are conditional promises. God gives those to us. He will fulfill His promise, but there's something that we have to do. Unfortunately, many times we see throughout the Old Testament and throughout the Bible that God makes promises to His people, but we see that play out time and time again in the Old Testament. God speaks to His people, promises them, I will give you the land. I will give you all of these things if you do this, fill in the blank. And what did they do? Time and time again, they didn't do their part. So again, they missed out on the promises of God, but there was something they had to do for God to fulfill His promise. But there is one thing for certain about God and His Word, is that God will hold His end of the bargain based on His character and His nature. You don't have to worry about if God makes a promise to you, you fulfill your end of the deal, that God will come through. You don't have to worry about that. There may be people in your life that have broken many promises to you. There may be people that have said they're going to come through to you. You've done your part, but then they don't come through on their end of the deal. And you see promises are just an opportunity for somebody to hurt you. God will never hurt you. God will stay true because that's His character and His nature. There are other promises in the Bible that are for specific people at a specific time, and this is important, that I've heard people quote Scripture, and they've quoted Scripture, and they're holding on to it, but that was kind of taken out of context. You know, when we go into God's Word, Bible study is important, and it's important that we read, you know, sometimes, you know, what God is speaking was to a specific person or to a specific group of people at that time, but yet we hold on to that promise, and then when we hold on to that promise and then it's not fulfilled, then we say, God, what happened? Why did you let me down? Or we feel like God has let us down. Well, perhaps that promise wasn't specifically for us. It was to God's people at his specific time. Now, there are universal principles that we can pull from that and learn about God and his nature, but we can't take every single promise and make that ours. We have to understand the context of what's going on. Many people have seen God as hurting them or have felt let down by God because they haven't fully understood the context of the promise. So as we go through this series, Life Preservers, I want us to understand the life preservers, the promises that God has given us to each and every one of us that we may hold on to in our times of need. Let me ask you this question this morning. How many people, and you can answer back, it's perfectly fine. I'd like to hear from you. How many of you have been afraid in your life before? Been afraid. All right. Raising your hand right now, that made you afraid. Because I don't know if he's going to call on me. I know how you're thinking. Just like in school, like if the teacher, you know, think, well, so if I raise my hand, so I'm just going to look the other way. Well, if you look the other way, she's going to call on you because you look the other way. Being afraid. We have all been afraid at one point in time or another. Now, I'm not talking about startled. Like somebody just walking up and just, boo, ah! You know, that's not like what my kids like to do or actually what I like to do to my kids. As a parent, man, there are so many things that your kids just drive you nuts. But there are some things, man, you just get to get them back every now and then. And for me, when the way our house is set up and I can hear them come through the garage into the laundry room into the kitchen, and if I hear them come in, I'll just sit by the side door and I'll just wait for them. Whoever's first walking through, you're getting it. And so I'll get them every single time. I love it, all right? Come on, as parents, we have to have fun with our kids. We got to pay them back a little bit. But I'm not talking about being startled. I'm talking about genuinely being afraid. Honest to goodness, fear. You've been so afraid that just leads you just to freeze. Now, it could be physically, like I'm so afraid I cannot move, or spiritually. You just emotionally, you cannot move. Something has caused such great fear in you, you just cannot move forward. This fear just overcomes you and it grips you. We've probably been there we've all been there at one point in time or another, that something has just overcome us, so much fear that we didn't know what to do, we didn't know how to respond. Something is so daunting, something is just overwhelming that we just freeze. We can't move, we're inactive. How many recall when your kids, or maybe even your grandkids, were afraid of the dark? This fear of the dark, that in the light, everything is fine, but boom, the lights go out. Ah, there's a monster under my bed. You have to go in and console them and, you know, take the flashlight and look, there's no monsters under your bed. There's no, open up the closet, there's no monsters in there. Everything's fine. Go through the routine, go through the ritual. But kids genuinely are afraid of the dark. There are some adults that are afraid of the dark. I have to leave a nightlight on because I hear creepy noises and there might be somebody in my house. I remember being as a kid and thinking that if I dangled my foot over the side of the bed, somebody was going to come and grab it. We've all been there. We've all been afraid of something. When we're fearful, sometimes it seems like we lose all scope of rational thinking. Like, you can go to live in your house and be in your house all day long, knowing nobody has come in or gone out, but yet when it gets dark and you turn all the lights off, automatically hear a noise, somebody's in the house. I've been in the house all day long. The doors are locked. The windows are locked. If somebody were to come in, I would have heard something, but yet you hear a noise. Somebody's in the house. We lose kind of rational thinking when we're afraid. Now, I'm not saying this is irrational thinking, but I remember coming home from a trip one time, and I saw a large knife on the bedside table. And I asked Rebecca, I said, why is there a knife on the bedside table? Somebody might come and get me. Okay, that's not an irrational fear. We need to protect ourselves, but come on, like this huge like butcher knife in there. I'm like, what's going on in here? What did I miss? But honestly, fears come in different shapes and sizes. Fears come and they hit us at different points in time in our lives. When you're younger, there are the fears of being afraid of the dark. I remember as a kid, I would get so afraid that my parents forgot to pick me up from school. Like if I did not see them in the parent pickup line, like with all the other cars, I'm freaking out. They forgot about me. I'm going to be left at school forever. Nobody loves me, and I'm going to be an orphan child for the rest of my life. Come on. I know my parents love me. They're not going to forget. But if I didn't see them, I would get so afraid that I was going to be left at school forever. Fear comes and hits us at different times in our lives. But God ultimately gives us a promise to hold on to when we're facing times of fear, when fear grips us. There are times that many times that we see in God's word that he repeats these words, fear not. Everybody say that with me, fear not. One more time, fear not. It's repeated in the Bible over 80 times. Now, some people say that it's actually more than 80, depending upon the context. Let's just say it this way, it's repeated in the Bible a lot. Can we agree upon that? Fear not is in the Bible a lot. So when there's something specifically in God's word over and over again, we need to take hold of it. We need to grab a hold of it. That God is speaking to us, fear not. But fear is something that we all face. Fear is something that is difficult. Fear is an emotion or feeling, but fear is also a spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Now, fear is something that we're all going to have to overcome at one point in time in our life. Here we see Paul is encouraging his young disciple, Timothy. Do not be afraid. He's trying to encourage him because he understands that he sees the timidity in Timothy. He understands that Timothy is dealing with this going out on his own and sharing the gospel, and he's encouraging him. Do not be afraid, Timothy. He wanted him to know that fear is not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit to walk in fear. We are all going to face these times of fear. We're going to feel timid. We're going to feel afraid. As Rebecca just mentioned a few moments ago, speaking in front of people can be fearful. Getting up in front of a large group of people and seeing eyes on you can be very difficult, to the point where people freeze and have stage fright. Dealing with confrontation, that can be fearful. Dealing with confrontation because you don't know how that person is going to respond. You know there's something, a conversation that needs to happen, but you don't know how that person's going to respond. You go through all the scenarios. But what if they say this? And what if they do that? And it's just, fear comes over you that you don't want to deal with the situation, and you freeze, and then you don't deal with the situation. Many people are afraid of rejection. If I step out and I do this, I'm going to be rejected. If I step out for this, that they're not going to like me, or it could be a relationship. That person's going to turn me down. Whatever it may be, we all deal with fear. It's not something that's unique to just one person. We all deal with it. Even though the most secure people in their faith or just in their personalities deal with fear. You know, that you have conversations with people and you're like, you deal with fear? Absolutely, we all deal with the insecurities and dealing with fear that if we may be rejected or people may not see the situation the same way we do. But dealing with fear is to understand where fear comes from. Fear is not from God. Fear can come from many different places. It can be out of an irrational response to how we're feeling about something. Fear can come from a situation that we've been in before, or it can be a spirit of fear. Fear can come from your personality. Anxiety and worry and all of those things can be in your personality. It can be a weakness of the flesh, and it also can be an attack of the enemy. But there is one thing for certain, and I'm going to say this many times today, it is not from God. So how then do we deal with it? If fear is something that we all deal with, if fear is going to come from many different ways, whether it be our personality, whether it be an attack from the enemy, how can we deal with this fear? How can we overcome it? How can we not freeze when fear hits us? We can't expect it just to go away. And that's, I think, the solution that most of us want. Well, maybe it'll just go away. If I don't deal with it, like confrontation. If I don't deal with it, then eventually it'll go away. All right, Most of you have probably dealt with confrontation, whether in your marriage or job or whatever it is. What happens if you don't deal with confrontation? Eventually, it's going to get worse and it's going to blow up. Whereas if you dealt with it over here, when it's small and kind of insignificant, you know, maybe a little bit of damage, but yet over time and you just keep sweeping it under the rug, then all of a sudden, boom, it explodes. And now you're dealing with all the nuclear fallout from everything that just happened. It's not just going to go away. The fear is not just going to go away one day. But how do we understand that? How can we get past the fears that we face? We need to understand what God has given us. Number one, God has not given us fear, but what does he give us in place of that? God has given us a spirit of power. Number one, God has given us a spirit of power. Think about that. The Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us is the power that we need to overcome our fears, to overcome the fears of rejection, the fears of failure. Whatever that fear may be gripping us, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, that comes from God. The fear that we're dealing with does not come from God, but he does give us power. He has given us this power to see the situation from a different perspective, to give us the power, to give us words to speak in a situation where we feel, I don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit is there to give us. Paul is speaking to Timothy because he understood how afraid he was. I can imagine Timothy going, I don't know what to say. How am I going to advance the gospel? And Paul is saying, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he's given you power. Do not forget that. Do not forget what God has given you, but power to continue. You on. When you cannot do anything else, lean into the power of the Holy Spirit. He has given us that power to overcome the spirit of fear that may grip our lives. The second thing we see God has given us is love. God has given us love. Jesus modeled that every single day. His love for others was there. Think about this. When he was going to the cross, in John 13, we see this amazing picture that Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He, don't you think fear could have gripped him in that moment? The fear of knowing the pain and the agony of death that he was going to go through? But yet, what did he do? He washed his disciples' feet. He loved. He humbly served. He loved. You see, we must love as well. When we feel like we can't do anything or fear is immobilizing us, we need to act in the power of the Holy Spirit and in love. That is what God is calling us. That will help us get through the fears that we're facing, to focus on something other than ourselves. When you're focusing on loving and serving somebody, guess what you're not thinking about? Yourself or the fear that you're going through. We must love with the ability that God has given to us and the Holy Spirit residing inside of us. The third thing that God has given to us that we see in this passage is the ability to have a sound mind. That God has given us a sound mind. The ancient Greek word here describes a picture of a calm mind. How many of you would love a calm mind? Oh, just give me a calm mind, Lord. Just give me that peace. You see, this is in stark contrast to the panic and confusion that rushes in when we're fearful or in a situation that causes us great fear. See, we don't need to accept what God has not given to us. God has not given us a spirit of fear. We do not have to accept that. But we can humbly receive what he has promised to us. Spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. You see, Paul wrote this to Timothy because boldness matters. Boldness matters to God. Boldness encourages us and causes us to speak out because of our faith. There are going to be times that we're going to be fearful of speaking out against things in this world. That as we see the moral decline of our society and our world, I'm going to tell you we're going to need a whole boatload of power, love, and a sound mind to speak, because it's going to be a whole lot of fear coming in. Well, if I say this, then I'm going to have the reaction, the backlash to all of these negativity because of people perceiving me because I'm a Christian. We used to live in a time, in a society, where being a Christian was a good thing. And now we see it, the tide is shifting and turning because of the enemy, where being a Christian means that you're a negative, terrible person and you hate everybody. I'm sorry, but that's not who I am. I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. But the perception is that because we're a believer that we must hate everybody and we're evil, terrible people. Man, look at the job the enemy is doing. It's going to be fearful. It's going to be times of fear that we speak against the moral decline of this world. And we're going to need the boldness of God to overcome those fears. Paul wrote that to Timothy because he understood that he needed boldness. You see, without it, without that power, love, and a sound mind, we cannot fulfill God's purpose in our lives. God's purpose for us is more than just making money. God's purpose for us is so much more than just having a nice house or nice cars or our kids going to college. While all those things are great, God's purpose is so much more for that. God's purpose for us is not hope. God's purpose for us in this world is not to live a comfortable life. God's purpose for us is to live a purposeful life, to make a difference in the world that we live in. We all want to be comfortable. It's a comfort zone for a reason, because it feels good and it's nice, but that's not why God created us to be comfortable. He created us so that we can share the message of the gospel so that all may hear the love of Jesus. And we're going to need boldness to overcome fears. We're going to need boldness to overcome the challenges that the enemy presents us. The spirit of fear is real, and it's something that we must confront. But we can only do that using the gifts God has given to us. God wants each of us to take this power, this love, this sound mind to overcome the fears that we face, to be used by him to do what he's called us to do. You know, I think of David, that David is just a young man full of passion and energy for God, that he goes to visit his brothers on the battlefield, and the entire Israelite army is gripped by what? Fear. Because they see this huge giant facing them, and they don't move. They're immobilized. This entire army is struck down by fear because of this giant. David comes along and says, "Guys, what are you doing? Don't you know you have God on your side? Why are you stuck in this frozen state of fear? I'm going to show you what to do." Picks up a couple stones and slings it and hits a giant bound. Down he goes. David understood the power of God, that God was on his side, that he was not going to be immobilized by fear, that he was going to face it and move forward. And all the Israelites, "Oh my gosh. What an amazing accomplishment. How did you do that?" "I didn't do it. God did it through me." God does not want us to be frozen in our fear to overcome the giants in our lives. You may be facing a giant in your life today, and it may not be a physical giant, but it may be a relational giant. It may be a job situation. It may be whatever God is calling you to do. "And God, I just don't know if I can do it." Well, on your own, you can't, but that's why he said, "I'm here to give you power, love, and a sound mind." What fear are you facing today? Here's a top 10 list by 10 human fears shared by everyone in the world. Number 10, losing your freedom. 9, the fear of the unknown. 8, the fear of pain. 7, the fear of disappointment. 6, the fear of misery. 5, the fear of loneliness. Number 4, the fear of ridicule. Number 3, the fear of rejection. Number 2, the fear of death. And the number 1 fear shared by people all over the world, the fear of failure. The fear of failure. How many of you are facing fear right now because you're afraid that you're going to fail? That if I step out and do this, that I'm going to fall flat on my face. And that fear grips you and keeps you from stepping into what God has called you to do. "God, I just don't know. If this doesn't happen, I just don't know." And so you don't do anything. Maybe you're like, "You know what? I've got 5 out of those top 10 in my life right now." If you're holding on to those fears and those fears are keeping you from moving, then you're missing out on winning the battle. Maybe you've been praying for a long time, though. You're like, "Pastor, I've been praying for a long time, and the fear of death is there. The fear of failure, the fear of whatever it is, and I've been praying for so long, and I haven't seen any movement. What is the deal? What is going on?" And maybe if you're like most people, you're losing hope. You begin to wonder, "Why did I even bother? Why did I pray in the first place? If nothing is going to change, why do I even spend time in prayer?" It can happen to the most strong in faith. Please hear me on this today, that there are many people that reading through biographies of great Christian leaders and going through their testimony, you see, you're like, they dealt with that stuff too? There's no way. They did so many great things for God, but yet they had fear of failure, rejection of everything else. Like, there are great authors that were so struck by fear that if they write this book and they publish that, it's going to be an absolute failure. And so they never wrote the book until it was 20 years later. And they go back and say, I wish I would have read it. I wish I wouldn't have held on to that fear. You see, a little seed of doubt can grow into a harvest of frustration and anger. But we need to move from fear to faith. We've got to move from this place of immobility and we're just frozen to God, I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to continue to have faith in you. We need to, instead of giving in to our fears, we need to have faith in God. That he will be with us, as Hope said this morning, that God will be with us as we go through those trials, as we go through those times, that God will be with us to help us overcome those fears. You see, faith focuses on God and not our fears. Faith focuses on God and not our fears. So often we focus on our fears and we forget about God. But faith says, no, I'm going to focus on God. I'm not going to look at my fear. I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to do this. As fearful as it may be, we encourage, I don't know about you, but I know we encourage our kids all the time to do things that they're afraid of. Go, just, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if, you know, trying out for sports teams and things like that or whatever it may be. Go, try it. And guess what? If you fail, that's okay. If you don't make the team, that's okay. Guess what? You get to do it again next year. Try, work, do all of those things, but don't just cower down to fear and never do anything. See, our faith focuses us on God and not on our fears. We tend to spend more time focusing on our fears rather than focusing on God and building our faith. That is truly how we can have power, love, and a sound mind when we focus on our faith and focus on God and not the fears that are in front of us. Rather than spending all of our time being afraid, we need to face our fears with the full knowledge that God did not give me this fear. God gave me power, love, and a sound mind. That's what came from God. That's what I'm going to hold on to. This fear, I reject this fear in the name of Jesus, but I'm holding on to love, power, and a sound mind. That's what God has given me. Missionary Hudson Taylor founded a China mission in 1865. And this is during the time of the Boxer Rebellion, when many missionaries were being martyred for their faith, captured and killed, and went through many agonizing days. And he went on to say, writing in his journal, his spiritual condition. I can't read, I can't think, I can't pray, but I can trust. How many of you have ever been there before? You're so afraid, there's so many things going on in your life, I just can't read another word. I can't write anything down, I just can't even pray. But the one thing you can do is you can trust. I'm going to trust in you, God. I'm going to trust in everything. Even though it feels like I'm sinking, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to trust in you. There are going to be times when you feel like I can't even open up your word today, that I can't even pray, but I'm going to trust you. In those moments, it's important that we still trust God, that he is our Heavenly Father, that he is the one who is guiding our lives. I want to close with this quote this morning. Fear not, child of God. No one knows what a day may bring. Who knows if we will make it through this week? But our God is faithful to keep every one of his promises. Nothing can happen to us except what passes through the hands of God. If your way is dark, keep believing. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for you. And maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe you need to hear that God is still here for you. That maybe you have had these fears that have just gripping you for far too long and you're just afraid of stepping out. You're afraid of making a decision because you don't know the outcome. You don't know. Trust in God. Trust in him. You have to sometimes take this fear and hit it head on. That if God is calling you and pushing you to do something, And it's there, but say, God, I'm just afraid. What if I fail? He is not going to let you fail. If God is calling you to something, he is not going to let you fail. Is it going to be easy? No, I'm not promising it's going to be easy. It's going to be challenging, and it's going to stretch you, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be challenged and stretched by God. If everything was easy, well, then nobody would do anything. God wants to see, are you going to be faithful in this? When you get stretched, when you have those thoughts of fear, I can't do this. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Trust in him. Trust that he will lead you through it. He has not given you that spirit. He is not giving you those thoughts of fear. What God is giving us is power, love, and a sound mind. I'll receive that all day long. I reject the spirit of fear. I reject the thoughts of fear. But I receive the power of God, the love of God, and a sound mind that can only be given through the Holy Spirit. So all across the room, if you would, close your eyes and bow your heads with me this morning. You may be here today and you're facing many fears. I don't know what they are. Maybe the top 10 list that I read, maybe you checked many off those lists. You're dealing with a lot of fear today, many different categories. Trust in him. That he has not given you that spirit of fear. He has not given you the thoughts of fear. God wants you to be bold. God wants you to be courageous. To take a step out of in faith. And that in itself can be fearful. God, how do I take a step when I don't see anything underneath my foot? Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in my word. You may feel like this fear is overcoming you. It has been overcoming you. It has overcame you. And I don't know how to get it. I don't know how to let this fear go. Remember this today. That fear is not from God. That fear is not from God. And whatever fear you are facing, that you know that there's something in your life and you are just afraid that is causing you to not make a decision or not to do what God has called you to do, today say that fear, name it, is not from God. I do not receive this today. I receive the Spirit that God has given me of power, love, and a sound mind. God, I know that comes from you. And I declare that promise in my life today. In Jesus' name. Hold on to his promise of power. Hold on to that promise of love and a sound mind. Maybe today you just need a sound mind. God, my mind is all over the place. There's so many things going on. God, I pray right now for those here today, they need a sound mind, that you would give them peace, that there would be calm in their thoughts, to know that you are with them, that they can trust in you, that they go from fear to faith. In the name of Jesus. All across the room, stand. Fear will keep you from what God has for you. If the enemy can keep us in a state of fear and knowing that we will not do what he has called us to do, then he has won the battle. The Israelite army were losing the battle because they were afraid of the giant in front of them. They had lost, for all intents and purposes, the battle. And then David shows up and says, guys, I know who God is, and I know who he's called us and the promise he has spoken to us. And I today, in the name of Jesus, we speak that, but in the name of God, to come against this giant today, to overcome that fear that all of them, think about the many soldiers that just are in awe of this young man that come up there. Don't let that fear keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Maybe today it's taking a step of faith into something that you just, I don't know if I take that step. I don't know what's next. Trust in God. Trust in him. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you are here today, I want to pray specifically for you. If you have been dealing with a fear, I don't know what it is, but if there is some fear that's been holding you back, I want to pray specifically for you. And I'm gonna ask you to take a step of faith today, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And maybe that's a fear that is for you. It's uncomfortable. I get it. I understand it. But if you're dealing with that today, say, God, I know that you are with me, that you need encouragement today, whatever it may be. I want to join with you in prayer and say, today that fear ends. This fear is no longer a part of my life. God, I'm walking in your power and your love and your sound mind right now today in the name of Jesus. If you're here, raise your hand. If there is a fear that you're dealing with in your life, thank you for those hands. Anybody else? In Jesus' name. God, you see every single hand that was raised this morning. I pray for every single person. God, we come against the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. You know exactly what every person with raised hands this morning is dealing with. And right now, God, I pray that you give them the strength and the courage or the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome those fears, to face them head on, that this fear is not going to hold them back any longer, that they will walk into the promise that you have for them. It's a decision that needs to be made. It's a conversation that needs to happen. May they walk confidently in that. That this fear will no longer have a hold over their life. We receive today all you have for us. The spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We receive that from you today. In the name of Jesus. May we walk confidently and know that you are with us every day. And that when fear rears its ugly head, that we know that it's not from you, and that we walk confidently in your promise. In the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen and amen. Imagine a group of people. Imagine God's church not afraid. Not afraid of anything, not afraid of anybody what will say or anything, any thought that anybody has, but we will walk in the confidence and the knowledge of God is with us every day. That's a church that makes a difference in the world. Amen. Do you want to be a part of that church? I know I do. God, we thank you so much for today. God, I pray over this church and this body of believers that we walk in your confidence and your knowledge. Go with us today. May this be a week that we can walk in the assurance and knowledge of you. May your glory shine upon us, and may we shine your love and your light this week. May we walk confidently with the knowledge that you are with us. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. Have a great and wonderful week.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.